This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
What's going on, everybody? Zach Rosenblatt here with Mike K for a delayed post-game edition. Just to give you some background real quick. This is the No Huddle Show, if you weren't aware, by the way.
Just so you know.
Just so you know. If you clicked on our podcast for some reason and don't know what you're listening to. I actually wasn't at the game on Sunday. I did follow along. I read all of Mike's stories. But I was covering the Giants-Bears game. So we both were saddled with some very poor football game. Like, I don't even call that Bears-Giants game a football game. It was so bad. I won't talk about that too much, but the Giants are bad. So are the Bears. So that Eagles win over the Bears doesn't look as amazing in retrospect, is what I would say.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a lot to take in, a lot of big picture stuff to think about. I think the biggest thing, we probably should just get into this right away, is Carson Wentz. You know, he obviously has taken a lot of criticism. We both have covered how some of it's unfair, some of it's fair. There's, like, a lot of extremes. Like, there's no bones about it. Like, this was just an awful performance. I know some have debated whether this or the Saints game last year was worse. You probably have to say this one is worse just because this game was actually close. So if he doesn't turn the ball over four times, they probably win the game, right?
Yeah.
They were there. Like, I feel like that's a safe thing to say, right?
It's easily a top bottom three performance of his career. I think the only game that maybe was worse was the Bengals game his rookie season. Yeah. Like, this was
when you factor in, like, context, though. Yeah.
Yeah. This was something else. Like, he was incredibly inaccurate in the first half. Like, the numbers, if you watch this game on your phone, or if you watch just the box score, you have no idea what happened, because this was one where the stats don't really match up. He completed 73.3% of his passes, but he also only threw for 5.7 yards per attempt. So he was dumping a lot of passes off towards the end of that game. He got a little hot towards the end when he came back from his hand injury, but the first half was atrocious.
Yeah, like, he has a hand injury now, by the way.
Right. Oh, by the way. He says he's fine, though. The x-rays were negative. He's going to undergo some more tests later in the week. We'll get into that
a little bit later.
Doug
will say nothing today.
Right. But, no, you know, everybody wants to say, you know, he was without his top two wide receivers. He was without two of his top linemen for most of the game. He was without his top running back. And that's fine, but there were opportunities to make plays in that game. He missed a wide-open Miles Sanders in the red zone. He overthrew Zach Ertz. He overthrew Jordan Matthews. He overthrew J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. Well, he was not accurate.
Did he have one or two interceptions?
Two.
So what happened on those?
One, he basically threw to a well-covered, I believe it was Zach Ertz. It was to one of the tight ends, and it was picked off by Bradley McDougal. And then he had another one.
It was a while ago at this point. But yeah, I mean, the point being they were bad throws, and then he also has had that fumbling issue.
Mm-hmm.
Also, his whole career actually.
But yeah, the fumbling
the fact
issue
that it hasn't gotten better is like a problem.
So a lot of people will say, you know, it's not his fault that he's sacked sometimes, but it's a matter of pocket awareness. Yeah, and
people, sorry to cut you off, but like people who say that, like, he's second in the NFL since 2016 in fumbles, like, just. It's more than the offensive line. Like, no other quarterback besides Jameis Winston has fumbled it more. So it's he shoulders some of that responsibility.
Well, and I think if you look at the numbers, how good his offensive line's been, he's probably sacked a lot less than Jameis is.
Yeah.
So, and a lot of other quarterbacks. It comes down to pocket awareness. He just has not held on to the ball well. Now, one of his fumbles came on a botched handoff to Miles Sanders.
Which is a play I'm sure we have to talk about.
Right. Miles Sanders Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz both said that it was a new play in the playbook. There was some confusion.
Why are they doing it?
Miles Sanders took some blame for it after the game.
It was a delayed handoff, basically, right?
Yeah, in theory. But, like, it looked like Miles took a wrong angle to it, and they both collided.
But, like, so they were... What, they needed, like, what, a yard or something, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was third and one. So you're doing
a play where, like, he has to go far to get to the line of scrimmage, and, like, just the... I just, like, don't understand the thought process. And it's a new play, and you're running into the right side where you have two backups playing. Matt Pryor and Vitae, who have, I don't know how Pryor played, but I know Vitae played very poorly.
Pryor was okay.
Well, all things considered.
And
it's, like, Doug has made a lot of, like, strange calls like that this year, and that...
He gets cute. I mean, it's been a problem, and they lack imagination. And the cute plays aren't, like, necessarily brilliant plays. They're just, like, it's hard to explain, like, in a way that you're not mocking him. But it's, like, you know, it just doesn't make a lot of sense, to be honest. I'm really surprised by his lack of originality when it comes to short yardage plays. And you know what? Jay Ajayi came in and had two really good runs, and then they got away from him, and then he struggled because they tried to be a little bit more creative. Miles Sanders, you'll see that he ran for 63 yards on 12 carries. That's terrific because it's a 5.3 yards per carry mark. That said, during the first half of the game, it was a lot like Carson Wentz, where he was like kind of moving around and bobbing and weaving. And he left a lot of yardage
side instead of north to south.
Right, he left a lot of yardage out there. Like, I think he realistically could have ran for over 100 yards in this game.
And Seahawks defense isn't good, by the way, which is, like, the most alarming part about it.
Right, but, like, Sanders caught some fire in the third and fourth quarter, and that's what helped his stats. But, like, overall, I just wasn't really impressed by him or Wentz, and I think they shoulder a lot of the blame for this.
So let's talk about Wentz a little bit. So... It's two straight games that he's been bad. I know, you know, you have to factor in that he doesn't have all the guys. I get that. But, over the last five games, like, how, if he doesn't get better over the last five games, how concerned are you about the future of this team going into the offseason? Like, if he keeps playing, it looks like it's a confidence issue now. Like, he's inaccurate, he's, you know, his like, decision-making, he's, like, questioning himself, it seems like, when he's out there. Like, if that continues for the last five games, like, what confidence is this? Because their entire future is built around him. Like, they gave him that contract. They need him to be the guy. And if he's not, then I don't know what they do.
Yeah, I mean, not great. You've seen the Redskins defense, right? You've seen the Giants defense, right?
Yes.
You've seen the Cowboys defense, right? You've seen the Dolphins, right? Like, if he can't play well against those teams, I think there's a legitimate problem. Look, he's going to face a quartet of matchups against teams that are currently 2-9. And then he's going to face a Cowboys team that played well defensively against
the Patriots. Played well against the Eagles, basically.
The defense played well against the Patriots.
Yeah.
Even though the Patriots probably should have won by, you know,
10 points.
The Patriots
also had a lot of, they injured, like, all their receivers were injured.
Right, and they missed two field goals. So, like, 10 points.
Well, NFL's a weird thing.
Yeah, right. So, you know, I just kind of think Carson, we can talk about everything around Carson that's not going well, but we can also say that, you know, hey, he's had opportunities. And I think when you have opportunities against bad defenses, you have to take advantage. I don't think the Seahawks are a bad defense. I think they're a mediocre defense. They're like a middling defense, if that's fair. The Patriots are obviously a very good defense. They just haven't been able to get anything done. And it you brought up the confidence issue, and I think that's a great point. I think he's regressed mentally.
In terms of, like, his processing and all
that
stuff, yeah.
And it's not the product of him. It's the product of the fact that nobody can catch passes. It's the product of, hey, you target Zach Ertz too much. It's the product of...
All of it, yeah.
Hey, they can't supplement the offense because Howie Roseman won't, you know, forgot where the pedal was. You know what I mean? The guy's whole thing was, we're not going to take our foot off the pedal. They haven't done anything for the offense outside of signing Jordan Matthews. This has been an utter failure as far as cultivating chemistry on offense. And it began with trading for Golden Tate. Look, I know...
Yeah, ever since then, yeah.
Yeah, I know Nick Foles went on that run. Nick Foles has been terrible in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
That needs to be said. He's been terrible. And he had some bad games during that stretch that a lot of
people... He had some bad games in 2017.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, like, well, in both, yeah, in both years. He hasn't been perfect. Bringing Golden Tate into this ecosystem and then choosing Nelson Agholor over him is the root of this issue. And it's not that, hey, they should have signed Tate over keeping Agholor. That's not the case. It's... They were so good at figuring out fits in 2017 that when they brought in somebody in 2018 and didn't know what to do with him, that became a problem. And if you want to point to Frank Reich as being a guy who understands the offense and understands how to cultivate chemistry within the group, not just at the quarterback position, I think that's valid. Mike Groh is essentially the passing game coordinator, Doug Peterson admitted the other day. Not a great look. Now you can finally really, like, genuinely throw hammers at him because this passing game has been so unimaginative. They did a lot of pre-snap motion, which worked in the first half against the Patriots game. It did not work all that well against Seattle, and they never super adjusted to it. We can talk about them missing Nelson Agholor and Alshon Jeffrey. Guess what? They've been terrible on offense with the two of them.
The receivers look... JJ and Greg Ward look better than they have in weeks.
We can talk about them missing their best two offensive linemen, Lane Johnson and Brandon Brooks. Well, their record was 5-5 with them. So,
So, you kind of are talking about what I wanted to talk about. And I think it's something that... I don't know if it's flown under the radar, but I think it's their biggest problem, even bigger than Howie or Carson... It's the offensive coaches have just not done a good job of developing their players or putting them in positions to succeed since 2017. Like, I was thinking about it. Who has gotten better since 2017 on offense? You could say Isaac Seumalo and Brandon Brooks, and that's all Jeff Stoutland. Other than that,
who? Yeah, I think Jeff Stoutland's easily the best coach on this roster. And
so he's, like, separate from... Because Doug coaches up everybody else pretty much. Right. Like, he's not coaching the offensive linemen.
Yeah, I mean...
So I think a lot of this falls on Doug. You know, Carson doesn't like leave. They don't roll him out of the pocket at all.
Mm-hmm.
And he's good at that. Like I don't know if this is different than Chip Kelly's situation, but it does feel like other teams have just solved Doug and he's like having trouble adjusting.
Yeah. I mean, we've had back to back
big picture, like within games, sometimes he's good, but like overall, I don't know if he is anymore.
We've had back to back weeks where opposing defenses have said, hey, we know what's coming. You know, there's
the guy in the last night.
Yeah, Seahawks.
I forget who it was that said it. Basically said that, oh, KJ Wright. He said that they were calling out Eagles plays before they were coming.
Right. And
like, that shows a lack of I know they're limited by the players they have, but like you can only use that excuse so many weeks.
Right. And when you have the only... Look, so they're without five notable players. Only one replacement really stood out in that game, and it was Greg Ward. And that's a low bar because Greg Ward only had... 6 catches for 40 yards.
By the way, one more criticism I wanted to levy that I just forgot was it looks even worse that they put Andre Dillard at right tackle at all. Like, he was not ready for it.
Yeah, I mean, I admit it. I was in favor of it just because of how it helped
talent
you from a talent and versatility standpoint. Just was not,
they should have seen this in practice. Like, there's no
right. We don't get to see practice, so I don't really.
I know Vitae wasn't good, but you should have had him in there from the beginning.
We brought up Brandon Brooks leaving the game. We should acknowledge.
Yes.
He acknowledged this on Monday that he had a setback with his anxiety disorder.
He was throwing up a lot.
The nausea just didn't settle. Listen, this guy is like an absolute role model for anybody who has anxiety disorder.
I mean, he's talking about it. Like,
yeah, I mean, as somebody who's dealt with anxiety their entire life, I can tell you I could never imagine being in the situation that he's been in. And he's the best right guard in football. Like, it's not even close. So,
his whole thing is that it's because he like expects perfection out of himself. And I know last week he didn't have his best game, so like it's possible. I mean, and Lane Johnson is his best friend on the team, and I know he's been there for him. And Lane wasn't even allowed to be in the stadium on Sunday. I actually didn't realize that was part of the concussion protocol, that you're not allowed to be on the sideline.
Right, yeah, you're going to be in a booth.
I'm not going to try and diagnose it, but it's like you don't blame him at all. I don't think anybody blames him for leaving the game.
No, and credit to the Eagles. They take this very seriously.
I imagine he'll be back next week. Who knows? But I imagine he'll be back for... The Dolphins, they don't need him against the Dolphins. I mean,
yeah, they do. This offensive line, that's true.
They can't take away anybody from this team
right now. But let me say this.
But the point being,
let me say this. Think about it. You've got to pick up the load for a rookie who doesn't really know what he's doing at right. I mean, they struggled almost immediately. And I think, you know, as the guy who's an all-pro, as the guy who has only given up one sack this entire season, like, there was a lot of pressure on him to perform in this game. Like, this was, I mean, he didn't have his safety net in Lane, who is well documented, has been a huge, huge, you know, supporter of his during his anxiety battles. And I just think it's, you know, it wasn't an ideal situation for him. I can't blame him for feeling the way that he did. I'm not going to say he suffered the anxiety attack because he had to play next to Andre Dillard, but, you know, there are a lot of optics there and a lot of pressure on him in this game. And they did miss him pretty significantly. Yeah. You know, Big V came in and struggled almost immediately at right guard. They made an adjustment at halftime, benched Andre Dillard. Vitae moved out to right tackle, and they brought in Matt Pryor. As you mentioned, Pryor was actually kind of okay.
I was saying, notably after the game, I saw that Jason Peter said he'd be willing to move to right tackle if it came to it, and he said he would talk to the coaches about that. That might be their best form of action if Lane is out again, because then you could put Dillard at left tackle, where he's been pretty good this year, actually. Hopefully this isn't like a mental setback, because when you struggle, you know, it can be. So that's why that was a particularly egregious mistake, I think, in retrospect. You know, in the moment, it kind of made some sense, I guess. But the idea of moving Peters right, like, he'd be more likely to handle it then. And he's played some right tackle in his career, I believe.
Yeah, too. He did in Buffalo, but
that'd be interesting.
The only thing that I worry about is Peterson has said that Peters is so entrenched at that spot, that's why they haven't moved him in the past. John Clark from NBC Sports Philadelphia said that Lane's supposed to be back next week. So,
I mean, concussions are weird, though, so
he's
not out of protocol. Like, Sterling Shepard on the Giants was cleared of protocol on a Friday, and then by Sunday, they had a Monday night game, he was feeling symptoms again, and he went back into the protocol and missed three more weeks. So, like, weird things happen with head injuries.
Yeah, and I'll say this. Look, I don't fault the staff for the Andre Dillard thing. It was a clear mistake.
Yeah.
But think about it this way, okay? If Vitae starts at right tackle, Andre Dillard and Brandon Brooks leaves, right? So they're forced to move Matt Pryor in there, and then you have a left tackle that can't play any other positions.
Yeah.
So, like, giving him the practice, it set you up to where, yeah, if he struggles, you have Vitae to fill in for him, but the other way around, it's kind of hard to put Dillard in that position when he's never practiced at right tackle. So not only does he not have a week of practice to kind of adjust, but, you know, so they were kind of damned if they do, damned if they don't in that situation. And the reason why you'd fault them, if you did fault them, is that they didn't cross-train him earlier in the season. Yeah, and I think that's part of
the, you threw him into the water in the middle of the week, basically. But, you know, another criticism, and I know this is like a popular one on Twitter because this guy has become such a popular why don't they play him guy, and that's Greg Ward. You know, I think it's easy to be hyperbolic with this. I don't think they would have won like three more games if they had played him all season.
Mm-hmm.
But just seeing him get six catches, which Mac Hollins and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside and even Nelson Aguilar have been unable to do all year. So clearly there's something just right there that he has with Carson Wentz.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why is this guy not on the roster all year? And why is he not playing over Mac Hollins? Like, it just looks, it almost was worse that they played him this weekend. He played so well because, like, it dumbfounds me. That's on the, like, that's not like Howie Roseman's dealing with the practice squad, right? That's a Doug Peterson decision.
Well, I think both of them do together, have a say, okay. but
if Doug sees something in practice, then he could be like, all right, let's call Greg up.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Greg seemed like the obvious guy to bring up because he's been around for 3 years, but, like, man, I mean, it's just the optics of J.J. Arcega-Whiteside now averaging over 17 yards per catch.
He's looked pretty good, I think.
Yeah, I mean, and in big situations, he made a catch that set up. Not
targeted that much, but yeah.
Right, but he made a great catch towards the sideline that set up their only touchdown of the game.
And then the week before, he had that long catch late in the game.
You know, in those two positions, they put him in position to play like he did at Stanford. Go up for the ball, show athleticism in that regard. He's not going to beat anybody deep, but, you know, he can win one-on-one battles. And I talked to him after the game, and he said, you know, when Carson told him the route concept that they wanted him to run, he knew he was throwing to him because, oh boy, this is like what I did in college. Like, this is like the perfect play for me.
You guys might hear my dog drinking water in the background right now. Listen. He drinks really loud.
You got to stay hydrated. Believe me, I know. I haven't had anything to drink all morning.
Yeah, you should probably should before you go ahead. I'm going to give you some beverages to leave with.
Sweet. Sweet.
Actually, yeah.
We'll figure that out. Riding solo. It's the
time. But, yeah, so we should say on the positive side, the defense, again, like, did its job at the very, like, it wasn't maybe as good of a performance as the week before. Like you meant, you were talking to me before the podcast, like, they had a lot of, like, drops and wide open plays that Russell Wilson just going to make. It sounds like Jalen Mills didn't have as good of a game this week. Yeah. But they still held another team. What was the final score?
It was 17-9.
Another team below 20 points.
Well, so they've held all four of their last opponents under 17 points.
But they lost the last two.
Right. And that's a very big issue.
Yes.
I spoke to Malcolm Jenkins after the game, and Jenkins said that they need...
That quote was so interesting to me.
What?
The one about just get a kick. Like, the fact that they're...
Yeah, like, they're...
But, so he basically... Sorry to cut you off and, like, take your line, but his quote was essentially like, the offense should be happy if they end a drive in a field goal or a punt. Because it's not a turnover. It's kind of the sad state of affairs that this offense, right now, it's just like, just don't turn it over. That's our plan. Don't turn it over. Like, that's where they're at right now.
Well, I think Malcolm is trying to say, put the pressure on us. We know that you guys are banged up. You guys have carried us when the defense has been banged up in the past. I actually thought it was very diplomatic because he really had a solid game. And
Malcolm did, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and... You know, it's easy to be frustrated there. Brandon Graham said the same thing. You know, you try not to be frustrated. Like, they know Lane's coming back. They know that they have five more games to play. Really, in the grand scheme of things, I hate to say this loss doesn't matter, because it does. But with the Cowboys losing to the Patriots, like, really, this is like a control your own destiny thing, because if they win all five of their next games, they get it.
Chip Kelly would say destiny is predetirmined already, so...
Chip Kelly is also a pretty terrible coach, but maybe he'll become one of those card readers after his coaching career ends.
Fortune teller, yeah.
So again, what I'll say is this: I think this defense is feeling very confident. We've said it before, even though Jalen Mills had a couple of down moments in this game. This defense has played significantly better since he and Ronald Darby returned. I actually thought Nigel Bradham played relatively well outside of giving up the 58-yard rushing touchdown in the fourth quarter. I think overall, this defense is getting back to where it needs to be. Obviously, they have a group of players that knows the defense has been around. There's really no new faces, if you really look at it. No new faces in the secondary. Everybody at linebacker's been around. The defensive line has pretty much been the same for the last 2 years. So, like, you have a lot of experience and you've got guys healthy again. And I think that that benefits you down the stretch because you've been in those battles before. On offense, it's the other way around, right? I mean, you know, you've got some new faces. Matt Pryor played his first legit offensive snaps this past game. Like, you're kind of just trying to figure it out. So if the defense has to make plays for you, that's just what it is. Like, I mean, if the defense scored in this game, I actually think they win it. You know what I mean? Like, Russell Wilson isn't a turnover prone guy and he threw an interception. They sacked him 6 times. They hit him 10 times. Like, the defense did a really good job. I think Jim Schwartz is coaching very, very well. I know there are some people that speculated that he was coaching for his job during the second half of the season. I don't see that at all. I think
if that was true, he's fine now.
Well, yeah, he's knocking it out of the park. This offense just needs to do something. And I think if Jordan Howard can return in the next couple of weeks, they're going to be in really great shape. I don't think Alshon Jeffrey and Nelson Agholor matter as much as people want to say things. Having Lane Johnson will definitely help. Having Brandon Brooks will definitely help. People need to get over the whole wide receiver thing because that's not changing. It's not like... This is who they have, and they've got to make do with it. And they could have altered it during the trade deadline, but, you know, it just didn't happen.
So, as we see right now, like, do you think Mike Groh is fired this offseason?
Do they make the playoffs?
I mean, I don't think they do.
I don't know. I just kind of feel like this team is one of those teams that just, like, kind of...
gets in and everybody's safe, yeah.
Yeah, and then they get killed at home in the
Yeah, because who they play?
They'd either play the Vikings, the Saints, I think, or the Vikings or the. Excuse me.
Dying over there.
Yeah, man, it's been a rough couple of days.
I'm gonna pull up the playoff picture right now.
I think it would be the Vikings or somebody else.
Okay, so the Eagles would be four. So they would play, either Vikings or Seahawks, and Vikings are like the clear 5 and 6 right now.
I think they could beat the Seahawks. They can beat the Vikings if Kirk Cousins has a Kirk Cousins game. But, like, again, he hasn't really had a Kirk Cousins game.
Yeah, since Zach Brown talks Mac.
Right. And remember, the Vikings beat them last year.
He's pretty, like, locked in. So it's pretty much the Cowboys division is the only thing that's pretty open.
Right now. Yeah. I mean, it's Cowboys.
The Rams are, like, I mean, they're 2 games behind the wild card, and they're not in the division race. So that's actually, and they're 6-4. So he has a better chance of making the playoffs than the Rams right now.
And I said that after the Ramsey trade.
Although as of right now, the Eagles pick is worse than the Rams.
Right. But what's interesting is the Cowboys play the Rams.
Yeah, they do. That's a good point.
And that doesn't really matter in common opponents. And I don't even know if it really gives the Eagles wiggle room, because the Eagles have to beat all their division rivals, because right now Dallas is 4-0 in the division. They have a week 17 matchup against the Redskins that they're definitely going to win.
They play the Bills and Bears coming up, and those are 2 games the Eagles won. So if the Cowboys lose either of them, that's good for the Eagles.
Right. So common opponent, Zach's talking about common opponents.
That's the second tiebreaker.
Right. Right now, the Cowboys are 4-4 in common opponents, while the Eagles are 5-3. So they have a 1-game advantage. that said, while the Cowboys can continue to lose, unless they lose 2 games, the Eagles really have to win out.
Yeah.
Because the Dolphins are a common opponent, and then obviously all the division games that they have are common.
They have to win all their division games in order to
win,
because the Cowboys are 4-0.
Right. So if Dallas loses to Los Angeles and to if they lose to Los Angeles and they lose to the Bills on Thanksgiving, right? Those are also the Bills are a common opponent. The Eagles could stand to lose to the Dolphins. That said, if they lose to the Dolphins, you can pretty much throw. Yeah, it's over.
And I've said this before, like, there's no reason to think the Eagles would win 5 games in a row other than people just looking at the schedule and saying, oh, those games aren't so bad.
Right. I mean, keep in mind, the Giants are 2-9. They play them twice. The Redskins are 2-9. They play them once. And then they play the 2-9 Dolphins, who don't seem like they can beat anyone outside of bad teams. Are the Eagles a bad team? We're about to find out. Realistically, the Eagles have to go 10-6 to win this division. The Cowboys can go 9-7, in theory.
Do you actually think the Eagles will go that?
Ask me after the Dolphins game, because if they lose, here's the thing, like,
If they win that game, that's still gonna change your opinion, though.
Well, no, it will. They have to beat the Dolphins by 2 touchdowns. Okay, like, this has to be like
how they beat them.
Right, yeah. I gotta see how they do. I'm not ready to rule them out yet.
They should just air it out and hope that Carson Wentz's confidence back. Just throw it a lot.
I've said this the last 2 weeks. The Cowboys have played very sloppy football over the last, since coming back from the bye. They do not look like the same team that they
were. Jones was a sad old man last night. Or angry old man.
Yeah, he was. And I do wonder if they lose another one, if the wheels really fall off. Because the defense isn't good. And the offense that has normally been good has not really been able to put up a lot of points.
By the way, the positives of if the Cowboys finally moved on from Jason Garrett is that he might just go down the street in the division to the Giants. So
what a world.
The NFL is so funny. Yeah, they just like shuffle the same guys over and over again.
Well, in theory, there aren't a lot of really great candidates. You can talk about, Rhule and who's the other notable college? Lincoln Riley. Yeah.
I see Giants fans pulling for Mike McCarthy a lot, but he was good because of Aaron Rodgers.
I don't know if I would. Yeah, that's an interesting one.
I see a lot of comments on our page.
Also, remember, it's tough to win a Super Bowl with 2 different teams. It just doesn't really happen. So,
we're not going to talk too much about the Giants, but like a team like that should find like someone in the middle between a complete rookie coach and a veteran coach, like someone who's a smart offensive mind.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
But yeah, so You know, the Eagles have what should be an easy game on Sunday. I'm excited to go to Miami for the first time.
Oh, this is your first time ever going?
First time ever. I've been in the airport.
That airport's terrible.
I had a weird layover there one time.
Every layover there is weird, to be fair.
But it was like 75 degrees there the other day. I'm just very much looking forward to that. It'd be nice to just, like, have a positive, like, blowout win for the Eagles, which just never happens anymore.
And it coincides with my first mock draft of the season.
Oh, yours coming out next week?
Next Monday.
Have Super you started working on that?
Not yet. That should be
mine's
fun.
Mine's coming later in December.
Yeah, you always luck out.
By the way, Thanksgiving coming this week.
It is.
If we don't get, we're going to try and get a pod before that. But if we don't, have a great turkey day.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite holidays for sure.
Yeah. Hot take. I'm not a huge fan of turkey.
Not a huge fan of turkey. I think you were going to say the holiday.
Oh, no. I mean, I just like it. A lot of the food doesn't like really.
So do you like all the other dishes?
Yeah. Okay. I love all the sides.
So at least you're not a monster.
Right. I'm not a monster.
See, I don't like stuffing, which I know is people get passionate about.
Yeah, I'm not either.
I'm not a huge stuffing guy.
We typically go to like a steakhouse or something because like I'm like a big steak guy.
Anyway, tradition is tradition.
Yeah, you know.
We can wrap up on that note. You gotta get a press conference. I still have to help a little bit on Giants before the Dolphins game. But we'll end on that note. Let us know what you're thinking about the team right now. Comment on our podcast. Write us a review. We'll read them on the next show. Sorry we took so long to get you guys this one, but we're gonna have a post-game pod next week, and if they lose, it'll be an even more negative one than this.
Hey!
Man, if they lose that game, that'd be...
Oh, man.
That'd be tough sledding.
All right. Yeah.
We'll end on that note. Have a good one.